Now in these
So our text for this morning's meditation is from John chapter 20, these words, "For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, according to our text, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead caught the disciples, by surprise. Even though those disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years, were taught by him, witnessed all of his healings, the miracles, even the raising of the dead, the fact that he himself, Jesus, was to rise from the dead was beyond their grasp. This crucifixion 3 days before, they thought apparently that that would be the end, but it was not. It took the empty tomb, the burial clause there, to cause the disciples to realize that Jesus, in fact, himself had risen from the dead. So as I said, as our text implies, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead caught the disciples by surprise, and oddly enough, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, even our celebration of the event, Easter, can catch us by surprise as well. Or at least it can be greeted by us some years with a big, huh? Well, I guess that's right. There it is in Scripture. Jesus did, in fact, rise again from the dead, never to die again. Now, when the Buddha died, his bones were divvied up, and eventually they ended up in Buddhist temples all over the world, even here in Minnesota. When Muhammad died, his bones were enshrined there in the city of Mecca, and every year millions of Muslims make the trek there to walk around those bones of Muhammad 7 times. But there are no bones of Jesus Christ to find, to bury, or to enshrine. There are no bones of Jesus Christ to divvy up or to walk around 7 times, for as he said to his disciples, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And not only risen from the dead, ascended into heaven, and on the last day he'll be seen again. He'll be seen again as he returns to earth visibly to judge the living and the dead. So, what do I mean that Easter can catch us off guard, like it did those disciples who ran out to the tomb? Well, think here in contrast of Christmas. Christmas is all excitement, expectation. I mean, not just for days, but for weeks and months before. I think the first Christmas decorations I saw this year in a store, I saw in the month of September. Of course, marketing is involved with Christmas, and sales and travel and families, traditions and movies, and all sorts of Christmassy type things. But I think the key to Christmas is that we know about birth, don't we? About babies, about having babies, about waiting and expectation and preparing while we wait for a baby to be born. It's something we've all experienced in one form or another, and certainly all of us ourselves were born. So we can relate. We can relate to the birth of Christ. And we also can relate, unfortunately, to the death of Christ, to his suffering and his death. For we too have suffered in one form or another. We have suffered physically, emotionally, mentally, and we have suffered even at the hands of others when what they have done or what they have said to us has really, really hurt us. Certainly we've experienced and have even witnessed death, all of us. The death of children, the death of siblings, the death of friends, the death of parents, the death of grandparents. Yes, we know about suffering. Yes, we know about death. And that being so, we don't really prepare for Good Friday, the observation of the crucifixion of Christ, as we do for Christmas. Sure, there is that season of Lent, but do we take part? And if we do take part, do we do so with the same excitement, the same intensity, the same level of expectation as Christmas? No. And then there's Easter. Well, which of us here this morning has ever experienced resurrection from the dead? Which of us has experienced that? Sure, we've met people who we thought would die but made it through some crisis and continued to live. But no one here ever, not once, has experienced the resurrection from the dead, the resurrection as that of Jesus Christ on that first Easter. And so when it finally comes to that day, to today, to this morning, it's easy to scratch our head and say, Huh? I guess Christ did in fact rise from the dead. It's a bit hard to understand. Does that mean that I'm going to rise from the dead? Yes. Does that mean that death ultimately will come to an end? Yes. Does that mean that sin will eventually be a thing of the past? Yes. Does that mean that in Christ and only in Christ is resurrection? Resurrection to life, eternal life. Yes, yes, and yes. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. This is what Jesus said to Martha outside of the grave of Lazarus a little over a week before being placed in his own grave. And then, of course, having said this to Martha, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And then Jesus himself arose from the dead. We could ask why. Why Jesus rose from the dead. Why Jesus raises all mankind from the dead and will give to all those who believe in him eternal life. We could ask why. Why does he do this? Really is a simple question, and there is a simple answer. Jesus is the Lord of life. That is, he is the one who made life and is the one who is the one who changes life. He is the one through whom all that was made and came into existence. I mean, in ancient Greece and Rome, there were hundreds of gods and goddesses, and in present-day India, there are hundreds of thousands of gods and goddesses. And the thing about gods and goddesses, about man-made gods and goddesses, is that they each have certain powers and responsibilities and even limitations. In other words, each one of those gods and goddesses that man has made, well, they're in charge of something. Goes for Jesus as well. Except Jesus is not a figment of man's imagination, not some made-up deity, but he is in charge of something, and that something is life. Jesus gives life. And of course, along with giving life, Jesus restores life to those who, because of sin's infestation of creation, have suffered. So as the Lord of life, life itself, our very existence, as the true, the living, the only God, what could Jesus do but come back to life, rise again from the dead? For that is what he does. Jesus gives life. He raises the dead to life, and he gives to all who believe in him eternal life. So we fill our churches on Easter in particular with life, with beautiful life, and that is we fill our churches with these flowers. For ultimately, flowers come the closest, don't they? Teach us about the resurrection, a resurrection to a blessed, to a better life. For what do we do in the fall? But we take ugly, shriveled, lifeless bulbs, bulbs that can look quite grotesque, really, and we place them in the ground, we bury them. And what happens in the spring? But from what appears to be death, total and complete, comes life, and life in such a much more beautiful form than what first went into the ground in the form of a bulb. But of course, we know that the bulbs were not really dead, and we know the flowers will last for a couple weeks or a month at most and lose their bloom. But for a moment this morning, we have a representation in these beautiful flowers of resurrection to life in all its glory. But it's not exactly the same, is it? With every newborn baby, we can imagine our Savior in a cradle, in a manger, in a stable in Bethlehem. Flower doesn't get us that close to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So what must we do? What must we do to get even closer to that? What must we do to get even closer to have that experience that we have never had before? Well, we must repent. Repent of our unbelief, repent of our skepticism, repent of our ignorance, even our cynicism, and embrace in faith that one aspect of the life of Jesus Christ that we have never, ever experienced, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, from the dead. And then as we do, we can be overwhelmed and even overjoyed by what that means. It means the forgiveness of sin right now. For what does sin cause but death? And if there's no longer death, there must no longer be sin. And if there's no longer sin, then we ourselves have had our sins forgiven. And in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, they are. crucifixion of Christ, his suffering and death, was that which was offered to the Father for our sin, and that was sufficient. It was enough of a sacrifice to cover our sin. For if it were not, Christ would have not been raised from the dead. So, what can Easter be for us every year? What can it be, this thing we've never experienced? What can it be for us every year but a day of rediscovery, of uncovering once again the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? And so even our own resurrection from the dead. Rediscovery? What do I mean? Well, it's kind of like finding something, finding a favorite thing, a memento, a souvenir, even that we placed in a special drawer, a dresser drawer in our bedroom, not because it's not important, but because it's very important. The most important thing we have that reminds us of a special time, a spectacular day, a unique event in our lives. Yes, we place that little thing in our dresser drawer because it's so special, but then what happens? What happens? Over time, other lesser things are also placed in that drawer as well, and they cover up, they hide that truly special thing. And it's only in cleaning out the drawer that we once again discover that glorious treasure so special to us. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that we have safely secured in our hearts through faith, which nevertheless gets covered up by so many other things that we would also store there in our hearts. During the season of Lent, we had the opportunity, didn't we, to clean out the drawer that is our heart. And what do we find then once again today on Easter? We find the empty tomb, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the forgiveness of sin, life and salvation in Him. And so even our own resurrection from the dead. In other words, we once again understand that Jesus must rise from the dead. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the canticle.